A ridge of high pressure will bring a couple of days of delightful springtime weather to much of the Midwest. Partly cloudy skies, seasonable temperatures, and a light wind can be expected today and tonight. As the high pushes off to the east tomorrow, a southerly flow will bring warmer air back into the region. A low pressure system will track into the Great Lakes tomorrow, bringing scattered showers to Wisconsin, with a trailing cold front producing showers as far south as Iowa and northern Illinois. High temperatures today will range from the upper 50s in southern Wisconsin to the low 70s in southern Illinois and Missouri. Lows tonight will range from the upper 30s in northern Indiana to the low 50s in western Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 65. The wind light and from the northwest. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 42. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 72. The wind out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 52. The south wind around 10 miles per hour. Thursday, partly sunny with a high in the mid-70s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Friday, cooler and cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high Friday in the low 60s. Friday night, colder, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. The low in the upper 30s. The outlook Saturday through Sunday, partly cloudy with the highs in the mid-50s. And the low Saturday night in the upper 30s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 50s to the mid 60s, most locations reporting a sunny sky. At Rockford, 53, in Chicago, at O'Hare, 52. Bloomington reported 57 degrees. It was 62 at Mattoon. In Carbondale, where it was cloudy, 64 degrees. At South Bend, 52, and Lafayette, 60, 61 at Indianapolis, 64 at Terre Haute. At Willard Airport, a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 62 degrees, the dew point 38, the relative humidity 40%, the wind out of the north at 6, the barometric pressure 30.37, and steady. And at 1240, 60 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Neighbors is our series about people in Champaign and Vermilion counties and the neighborhoods they call home. We've been visiting people in their homes to learn what they value in their neighborhoods and their concerns for the well-being of their neighborhoods. Today we're at the Shadowwood Mobile Home Park on North Market Street in Champaign.
My name is Lester Berrio. I'm from Colombia, South America.
My name is Max. Last name is Apencha. I'm originally from Africa, the country of Gabon, although I was born in France, but since my parents are from Africa, so I always say I'm from Africa.
When husband and wife Max and Lester moved to Shadowwood in 2004, the neighborhood's racial and ethnic makeup was considerably more diverse. About half the families were Latino. Today, about 90% of the residents are Hispanic. Max describes the community as tight-knit.
What I like about the neighborhood is the fact that people, since it's very small, people know each other, and then they look out for each other. If someone notices anyone who doesn't belong to this neighborhood wandering around, we automatically, or something suspicious, we will alert the other person.
Max and Lester have a small business cleaning houses. At the end of the workday, they're happy to lend a hand to neighbors who face challenges, applying for jobs, understanding legal matters, and dealing with medical issues because they're not native English speakers. They also share their faith by leading Bible studies. Here's Lester.
We help a lot of our neighbors because they need to make up a doctor's appointment. Sometimes they don't know what the results at the hospital are. And so they come, they knock. Sometimes they are pregnant and they have a pain somewhere in the tummy, so they want us to call the hospital to see if there is something that they can do at home or they have to go over to the hospital.
The couple says residents would benefit from a community center and a storm shelter. Another concern, their rent keeps rising.
You know, we don't blame the front office because they're just, working for the owners. but that the owner should be also injecting money into improving the look of the neighborhood. And so far, we don't see that.
Yes, I agree that we really need a community salon or something, a community center, so that we can have gatherings here. And also, one thing is that this place is too dark at night. The neighbors don't have any front porch light, and the city doesn't have any either.
While the crime rate has decreased in recent years, neighborhood safety is a concern for Shadowwood residents. Most of the criminal activity comes from nearby, but outside the mobile home park. Despite their concerns, Max says they're making the most of their living situation in hopes of a better tomorrow.
Living in a mobile home, it's not something that I would dream or something that we would do for the rest of our lives. In fact, we made that decision because of to move here, to have because it was cheaper, and then so we can save and eventually move to a home, but more like Florida. So we needed to get something cheaper to make that happen, and also to get project done in South America, help the family, our families overseas, her family, my family. So that's the reason why we moved here.
Max Abanja and Lester Berrio of Champaign, Illinois. For Illinois Public Media, I'm Crystal King.
Crystal King, a senior in the College of Media at Illinois, is the producer for WillConnect.org. University of Illinois journalism graduate student Azra Halilovich contributed to this report. For more about our series Neighbors or to listen again, visit WillConnect.org. It's 12:44. The selection of a GOP congressional nominee for the new 13th district in Illinois will not be up to GOP voters. But yesterday, the public got a look at some of the possible candidates for the position. Charlie Schlenker reports.
It's rare that a truly open seat happens, especially in Congress. And in spite of the toxic atmosphere in Washington and a district that doesn't favor Republicans, the 13th is still a popular job. At least 8 Republicans in the 13th district have expressed interest in the spot being vacated by Representative Tim Johnson. 6 of them tested out their campaign running shoes before an audience of the party faithful. Several of those have a common meme.
Overnight, the 13th congressional district became a target on the pathway to Nancy Pelosi returning to power.
We know Nancy Pelosi and the National Democrats want to recover the House. They're opportunists and will invade if they smell there's a chance in a district.
I'd like to beat Dr. Gill a fourth time to make sure Nancy Pelosi does not become Speaker again.
Those turning the former House Speaker into a rallying cry mentioned 10 times in an hour include respectively Congressional Staffer Rodney Davis of Taylorville, Assistant Illinois House Minority Leader Dan Brady of Bloomington, and Congressional Chief of Staff Jerry Clark of Urbana. Politics is about making connections, and most of the aspiring politicians have a lot of networks. The ones they're emphasizing differ. 3-year State Senator Kyle McCarter of Lebanon says he can appeal to independents, as shown by his results in Macon County.
What I think is probably seen by Republicans, probably the tougher part of this congressional district. I won that area, and I won Decatur, the toughest part of it, by 1,000 votes.
Former State Representative Mike Tate one-ups McCarter, saying he won Decatur 5 times in 10 years before stepping down to raise a family. Tate says his children are grown now and he can pour himself into a congressional race that will be enhanced by his business connections as CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents of Illinois.
In terms of the campaign operation, I can tell you, I have small business people, independent agents, which are like the backbone of their communities. And they live in small towns in Illinois. And they're the kind of people that are on their church board, active in the Rotary Club.
There are about 200 days to go before the November election. State Representative Dan Brady of Bloomington says the profile of a great candidate to deal with that short time frame looks a lot like, well, like him. He says someone with a record of high energy, person-to-person campaigning, the ability to draw volunteers, and yes, to raise money. Brady says not only has he held office, but he has helped other Republicans, implying it would be their turn to help him if he is selected.
And I'm proud to say I've campaigned for candidates at every level, from city council and county board to president of the United States. From my time as a young man helping to rebuild young Republican groups across the state to my present role as assistant House Republican leader, I've made service
my driving force.
Brady also touts his name recognition, which could be code for having the same last name as a recent GOP candidate for governor who did well in counties comprising the 13th district. Call it the Brady effect. Two other candidates focus on the networks they would have if they won the race against a Democratic candidate, David Gill, in November. Jerry Clark, chief of staff for Congressman Randy Holtgren and former chief of staff for Tim Johnson and a longtime GOP staffer in Springfield before that, emphasizes his ability to navigate Washington.
So I've seen the up close the dysfunction of Congress, the endless gridlock, the out of control spending. And I think we can do better than that, and I think I'm ready to serve.
The threads that bind the system together are also a specialty of Rodney Davis of Taylorville. For the last 16 years, the special projects director for Congressman John Shimkus.
I've helped countless constituents work through the bureaucratic red tape of Washington, D.C. and the federal bureaucracy. I've been tasked with helping local leaders in 30 counties identify cost-effective ways to address their local infrastructure issues.
A candidate with less of a resume chose to emphasize his social conservatism. David Paul Blumenschein of Bloomington mentioned the Trayvon Martin killing, trying to diminish it compared to the abortion issue.
We're talking about rioting over a young man and another young man that got in an altercation and unfortunately somebody lost their life. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned, we killed 50 million people.
By the way, Roe v. Wade has not been overturned. At least five of the 14 county party chiefs who will eventually make the call were watching these performances. Although some may have already committed to an initial candidate, none are likely to go public with support ahead of a private get-together late this month. State Party Chair Pat Brady has yet to announce the selection process. When the party had to hurriedly replace a candidate in the 11th District a few years ago, county chairs looked over all the resumes, polled each other, and then invited three finalists to make their cases in person before casting ballots weighted by population. Champaign and Macon counties have the two largest chunks of the vote. I'm Charlie Schlenker, WGLT News.
Support comes from 40 North 88 West, presenting the 10th Annual Boneyard Arts Festival, April 19th through 22nd. With venues throughout the county, the festival, in conjunction with the local business community, is a celebration of music, dance, arts, culture, and theater. Information on this year's festival is at 40north.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 17th of April, 2012. It's the birthday of the writer who said, "My advice to you is not to inquire why or whither, but just enjoy your ice cream while it is on your plate." Thornton Wilder, born Madison, Wisconsin, 1897. Father was a diplomat. Wilder and his four brothers and sisters moved back and forth between Asia and the United States. Went to Oberlin, then to Yale, got a job teaching French at a boys' boarding school. In 1926, he spent the summer at McDowell Colony, Writer's Retreat in New Hampshire, and he started work on his new novel, The Bridge of San Luis Rey, set in the 18th century, story of a bridge that collapses in Lima, Peru, while five people are crossing it. The collapse witnessed by a Franciscan monk who becomes obsessed by it and tries to figure out why those five people had to die. Wilder finished it less than a year later. It was an immediate success, sold nearly 300,000 copies, which enabled him to quit his job and build a house for himself and his parents and his sisters in Hamden, Connecticut, which was his residence for the rest of his life. His plays were popular, especially Our Town and his play The Matchmaker, which was adapted into the musical Hello, Dolly. Somewhere every day, the play Our Town is being performed by somebody. And Emily says her line, "Oh, Earth, you're too wonderful for anybody to realize you. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it every minute?" When he was 65, Thornton Wilder, famous writer, comfortable in Connecticut, busy being a literary man, he decided to escape from his own life and got in his Thunderbird convertible, drove west for 10 days. His car broke down in Arizona, just outside of Douglas, Arizona, and he got himself a hotel room, and he stuck around for almost a year and got started on a novel, which came out 4 years later, The Eighth Day, and it won a National Book Award. Here's a poem for today by Mark Irwin, entitled For Jackson Pollock. In April, our new black-finned 1957 Ford Fairlane 500 was headed north on Route 23 towards Big Stone Gap when a semi-tractor trailer jackknifed in a thundershower turned hail and scattered Muriel cigars all over a green Virginia hillside. The driver, dazed, was ambulanced away, while my father and dozens of other